This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. This is Wednesday, 12th of December 2018. And I'm Julian Ng, and I have Joyce Goh with me. How are you this morning, Joyce?
Good morning, Julian. Yeah, it's 12-12 today.
12-12, yeah. Right.
Well, okay. Well, today I'm okay, a bit sleepy, because I was up quite late. Later than normal last night. Yeah.
What did you do last night?
I wasn't at the football match.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but I was at the Aegis BRC gala dinner.
Okay.
That was quite fun. Caught up with a lot of ex-colleagues as well as corporate captains. It's a billion ringgit club gala dinner where...
That's what BRC stands for.
Yeah. And that's where Dialogue Group's executive chairman, Tan Sri Dr. Ngau Boon Kiat, he was named the this year's outstanding CEO and value creator, and Petronas Dagangan won the Billion Ringgit Club Company of the Year award.
Excellent. And talking about football, I mean, I was having dinner with a bunch of friends as well. Actually, it's an early Christmas dinner. It was really nice. But halfway through dinner, our hearts sank because the TV was switched on. And very early into the Vietnam-Malaysia game, actually Malaysia-Vietnam game because it's on home ground, we saw a goal flash on the TV, and not like later than a few minutes later, you know, another goal was scored. So, but the final scores gives a little bit of comfort because Malaysia made a fantastic comeback. So from down two goals, we managed to equalize it to a 2-2, a draw 2-2. But in this score, Vietnam has a slight advantage because they scored on an away ground, which means that when Malaysia goes to Vietnam in this two-legged final, Malaysia would have to score at least, notch a draw, of about three goals each.
Mm-hmm.
Or an actual win.
Win, yeah. Hopefully, yeah, this will, all eyes will be on that match next week. We'll be definitely supporting the team. I think yesterday's goals were scored by Sharul Saad on the 36th minute and Safawi Rashid on the 56th minute.
As you can see, very late scores, right?
But still,
I think the Vietnamese
good
goals were very early goals. So Joyce, you were talking about sleep, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well, because apparently a lot of Singaporeans are not getting enough sleep, and I'm sure that this is a reflection of the rest of the world, including Malaysia as well.
I don't think it's just in Singapore. It's something that's very global, that's happening and very real today.
And what else will we be talking about?
Okay, we're going to also be talking about buying kids' audiobooks this holiday season. Would that be something you'll be buying for your kids or for your nieces and nephews for this Christmas season? And, you know, do you think audiobooks can promote reading?
Mm-hmm, interesting stuff. And the other news is that the government wants to encourage more patriotism among us, and they want to come up with programs for that.
Oh, okay. So I wonder what kind of programs would boost patriotism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can look into that. Mm-hmm. And finally, related to that as well, another programs to address youth unemployment. So all those interesting stories coming up. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Shakedown Street by Grateful Dead, and you're listening to The Morning Run with myself, Julian Ng, and Joyce Goh is with me. 4 out of 10 Singaporeans aren't getting enough sleep. This is a survey done by YouGov, which surveyed about 1,000 Singaporeans. 6% of these people were getting 9 to 10 hours sleep. Very lucky.
Wow.
And one percent actually got more than 10 hours sleep, but about 40% were only getting 4 to 6 hours of sleep, and those older guys above 55 actually sleep better. Joyce, how well do you sleep, and what are your sleeping habits?
Well, how well do I sleep? Well, I must say, after I became a mom, I do not have enough sleep. I mean, that's a given.
Right.
Like, ever since I became a mom, I miss sleep. It's not, I think my sleeping patterns are no longer my own. It's very dependent on my kids. Yeah. When they want milk and all that. So, ever since then, I think I've had to juggle with putting in naps in between if I'm able to, or just try and make up the lost sleep later down the line over weekends and all that. But then again, I read that that may not be be good as well, like banking sleep. It doesn't work out to actually
Yeah? Because you take your body out of what is called the circadian rhythm, where your body is naturally predisposed to sleep when there's light, and you sleep more when there's darkness. And this is very important because there are a lot of like hormones and enzyme, and I don't know the exact science behind this, but the night enzymes and hormones, and there are daytime ones. So if you confuse the body, for example, if you stay more awake at night, you might get more of your cortisol flowing at night, which is not good for your body. You need a rest from that, right?
Okay.
And in recent times, I think a lot of people, as you put it correctly, they are raising more awareness about sleep, right? A lot of books coming out and a lot of experts coming out to say that you must get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night, and you must have a sound sleep. A lot of us actually wake up at least once a night, and
yeah.
that's not a good thing as well.
So how do you ensure that you sleep through though?
Yeah, so I've been reading a lot as well on this, and I've been practicing what is called some sleep hygiene. And this is another buzzword that has come
out. Wow, yeah, what's sleep hygiene?
Basically, you don't want to do things closer to your sleeping time that would affect your sleep negatively.
Like screen time and all
screen
that.
Time is very bad because it tricks your body into thinking that it's still daytime. So this so-called blue light that are coming out of devices, it's bad for you. A lot of devices now have that shade, that night shade thing, which you can turn on. So what happens is that like about an hour before you sleep, you just need to be in darkness just to prepare your body for sleep. The temperature of the room has to be correct. It has to be quite cool, not too cold and not too hot. And I guess you just need to calm yourself down.
So that's your sleeping habit.
I try to do that, but still, I mean, last night I didn't get enough sleep. I came back from my friend's dinner party, and I got 6 hours sleep.
Well, definitely more than me. But usually, how many hours of sleep do you get, Julian? On a normal night.
My non-BFM
non-BFM non-dinner night. Yeah.
I don't get a lot, actually. Okay. I don't get a lot.
Well, yeah. I attended a talk by AIA before when they started this AIA Vitality program.
Right.
And that's when, this was a couple of years ago, and I remember it struck me because the guy asked us, what do you think is the most important thing to do in your life for your health? So, of course, a lot of us thought, eat right, eat healthy, exercise, make sure you get exercise at least once a week, how long? And also, there were all of answers. But he says, actually, the answer is sleep. It's very overlooked. A lot of people often overlook sleep, the amount of quality sleep and how many hours you have to get in a night. Sleep is actually one of the most important things for health, but a lot of people overlook that. You think that, I have workout, that's good enough. I eat healthily, that's going to be good for my health. But actually, no.
Yeah. Actually, one interesting snippet from this survey is that the lower your income, the worse your quality of sleep. And that's not surprising because, for example, those earning below a certain level, they will have to spend more time going out there to work, and they're pretty stressed out, and that affected their sleep hours. They came within that like 4 to 6 hour category, so that's the income level determines your quality as well. The other thing that I do these days is that I actually listen to a slightly boring podcast before I go to bed, right?
And hope it's not a BFM podcast.
No.
Okay, good.
That would keep me awake, but that's quite effective, I think.
I have a friend who listens to planes take off to go to sleep.
White noise.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Every night.
There's this other thing called ASMR. It's very trendy now, and it's short for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Basically, what this is like is sounds of like comforting sounds, like whispers, sounds of snoring, crinkling of the paper, water running. This is very big now, and a lot of people are subscribing to it to help themselves sleep. So maybe you should give it a try, Joyce.
Yeah, I should. Yeah. Actually, it's not about falling asleep for me. It's like staying asleep, or sometimes when my kids wake up and all that. Yeah, it's more of that. But falling asleep, not really. It's an issue on Sundays because our hours would have normalized to normal waking hours. So I'll wake up on a weekend like 7, 8 o'clock, right? So I wouldn't be able to sleep early enough to wake up at 4 a.m. on Monday. But after that, it's okay. Going to sleep early is okay. It's staying asleep. That, for me, is an issue.
That's so important. We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Coming up next, programs to encourage patriotism, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Princess of the Universe by, of course, the one and only Queen. You're with Joyce Goh and myself, Julian Ng, here on the 6 a.m. stretch on the morning run. We were talking about sleep earlier on. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. I think we have some messages.
Yeah, Julian. So we have a message from Chin Yu Hung. Good morning. Saying that, you know, a bit weird not able to wake up to BFM, but instead to go to bed listening to the morning crew because Chin is all the way in Spain.
Wow.
Thank you for your message.
Thank you, Chin. Hope that, you know, we won't put you to sleep.
He wants to go to sleep. Sorry. We also have CK from Melbourne WhatsApping in saying, I have a very strange way of helping me to sleep. I will think about all the growth in the city I live in, especially high rises that are coming up, vision for the future. I guess that has to do with the fact that CK is trained as an architect.
Oh, wonderful. Got to try that out.
So good day to you, CK, because he's in Melbourne. And we have Ro, who WhatsApp in saying, a byproduct of lack of sleep is a condition called claimism, where you falsely lay claim to things which don't belong to you, like the hawker culture and chendol.
Okay, right. I tend to agree with that. Okay, let's talk about gifts for Christmas, right? That's a recommendation to give audiobooks for Christmas and not actually printed books. Daniel Willingham, a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia, and he also wrote the book Raising Kids Who Read. He says that audiobooks are a wonderful gift and to fill time that might otherwise not have been filled. And he, quote-unquote, print made it be the best for lingering over words or ideas, but audiobooks add literacy to moments where there would otherwise be none. So Joyce, I know that you're a print and a book and a paper person. What do you think of audiobooks?
I'm all auntie, is it?
Well, you're self-confessed.
Well, I don't know. To me, I still prefer the whole touch and feel of a book. You know, the smell of a new book and also just flipping the pages. I personally haven't tried an audiobook. I will. I think I should try it out and just give it a go to see whether or not I enjoy it. But I personally still feel, I still like to read on an actual book. Yeah. And for my kids, I'm old school that like that. I like getting them books and I read to them. Actually, reading to kids, it's good.
It's wonderful.
Good. Yeah. So I think maybe that this is where this article says, you know, recommendations to give audiobooks for Christmas. That's a way to, in a way, it's like reading to kids. Just listen to audiobooks,
yes.
Right?
So, and they can do it in their own time as well without mommy being there to having to read to them.
But it's good for the parents to be there.
To establish that rapport, that relationship.
But I guess it's good for audio. It could be a new way to read to kids.
So if you read a book, you've got to be there to read a book. I mean, you've got to hold it in your hand, which you can't do, like, say, for example, if you're driving or sometimes even if you're on a train or if you're cooking or you're preparing some mundane, boring housework, right? You can actually put on an audiobook to read and it saves time. And my personal experience with audiobook is that I just found that I finished the book so quickly, right? Each audiobook on average, I think, is about like a total of, depends on the length of the book. It's like 3 or 4 hours of total listening time. Mm-hmm. You find that as you're driving or as you're running out, you finish this book so quickly. And they're really actually very good quality because the narrator or the reader of the book, they select them really properly. Mm. When you're listening to especially fiction or classic literature, it really enhances the story.
Well, I'm not sure. Actually, a thought came to me, Julian, when it comes to audiobooks and kids. When they're listening to the audiobook, would that help them recognize words though? Because when you read to kids, you do point to the words. At times I try to, not that my kids are looking at the book, sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's just, you know, running around as well. But sometimes when they're sitting down and I'm pointing the words to them, I'm hoping that they'll absorb it and that helps with them picking up the words.
Helps with the recognition
of the words. Yeah. Whether audiobooks in that way, if they're listening to it, how would that help with the reading though?
I think the jury is still out there, but certainly you can it boils down to just the overall enjoyment levels. I think audiobook is no less than reading a book, and that's a thing of the future. Coming up next, we promise government to engage in programs to boost patriotism. And in the meantime, here's Rock and Roll Star by Oasis, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. I guess that, Joyce, relates to our sleep talk, right?
Yeah.
Whoever is shaking you all night long. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng together with Joyce Goh. And thank you so much for your messages. We have one from Sylvester Lee who says he loves or she loves audiobooks. Is that guy or girl?
Sylvester.
It trains one's listening skill and is good for when you're stuck in traffic. And the book, Carrieu's Bad Blood, in, he finished that in 2 days, which has never happened before.
So
I'm so sorry, Sylvester. I think it's great for finishing books because we have so many books in our library, which, you know, sometimes you just buy and stock it up and never finish and never even read them. Right?
Makes your library look pretty. Well, yeah. Sylvester, if you are stuck in traffic or commuting, you can also listen in to BFM through the app or download our podcast as well.
Absolutely. We're talking about also patriotism. The Communications and Multimedia Ministry will organize a nationhood exhibition in 15 locations nationwide to boost patriotism among the public. Minister Gobind Singh said that the exhibition will be held next year through various agencies under the ministry. Joyce, what do you think would boost patriotism among us and the younger generation? Also, is this needed?
Well, I guess... what can be done? Are you asking me, Jill, like what kind of programs that it can be done?
Yeah.
I guess depending on the age, but when they're young, maybe you can do things like arts and craft related to the national flag and all that. Also, maybe a bit of education behind the Garaku, maybe where the origins of this national anthem is from, and looking at Rukun Negara. Maybe, things like that. What else do you think?
I think that, I don't think this kind of programs are needed because there's a very thin line between patriotism and propaganda, especially if you're using national resources. But I mean, having said that, I do think that Malaysians in general have an inherent patriotism because we love our country, we love our surroundings. In spite of the, ugly racism that rears its head once in a while, right? We have things like sports, like that final last night, you know, things like that unites us when Nicole David plays, when
badminton,
Lee Chong Wei's plays, you know, it really unites us to root for our country. So there is that natural patriotism already that exists in us. And I think all the government of the day needs to do is to come up with good policies that help the people, right? For example, if you help the poor, if you boost education levels in our country, if you allow us to have the freedoms, then I think those kind of patriotism would come naturally instead of trying to spur it spontaneously through programs. I think those are a little bit more unnatural.
I guess you're right. So there's a line between patriotism. You're saying patriotism and politics, they mix. There's no line to separate them. That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, looking at this story, I guess things that they could learn in the school, whether in classroom or outside. And, you know, you said like sports bring us together in Malaysia. I think food is also something that brings us together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you know, how about all that song singing that we did in school? Did that help at all?
Yeah, that's part of education.
I think that's the song. I remember
that
singing Satya.
Yeah.
I think that song
exactly.
Satya, yeah.
And I think that when we're in school, especially in the lower primary schools, there's no divide, right? Everyone is the same. Everyone is equal. We loved all our friends equally, you know, notwithstanding the occasional fights.
Mm-hmm.
But kids don't know negativity. They don't know the idea of racism, for example, unless it's instilled into them.
Mm-hmm.
So I, personally, I would question such moves. Why is there a need to spend government resources just to boost patriotism when you can do it much more directly through government policy?
Okay. And I guess also a question is whether or not we show our patriotism in times of trouble. Because remember like what happened with Tabung Harapan? when the government announced that, oh, we're in 1 trillion ringgit debt, and they started this Tabung Harapan, and some people stepped up and donated to that.
Yep. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And coming up next, we will also talk about yet more programs that the government is going to launch, but this time related to policy to address unemployment among youths. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield. You're with me, Julian Ng, and together with me is also Joyce Goh, and this is The Morning Run. Thanks so much for all your messages. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Elanco. I used to buy and listen motivational audiobooks during my two-hour drive from home to office daily, and then I found the joy of listening to BFM. Thank you so much, Elanco.
That's great. Also, we have this WhatsApp from Daniel who says that audiobooks, that's my lifesaver for the book lovers who are visually impaired.
And Chipster, put away your gadget for 2 hours before bedtime and go to bed early. Short hot shower can help as well. That's in relation to the quality of sleep that we're going to get at night. So thank you so much for all your messages. And in the news, the government is trying to come up with programs to boost youth employment. This is coming from the Youth and Sports Ministry. They want to implement more youth development programs to improve their marketability. Also, we find that the youth unemployment is higher than the general national unemployment at 10.8% in 2017 versus our national unemployment of about 3.5%.
Yeah, it's so much higher, Julian. Well, looking at this piece of news, I think what they're looking at is to help with this youth unemployment in the country. And I think they're looking to have special emphasis on the use of English in all programs, in addition to an increase in entrepreneurial programs. So this is what the Youth and Sports Ministry is looking into.
Yeah, so I think this kind of policy is very concrete because you really need to address unemployment, because it's not only coming from an income perspective, but also from a self-esteem perspective. And if you want to look into things like patriotism, you got to look into stuff like self-esteem, right? So having a job is something that will make you have that kind of feeling.
But it's quite worrying looking at the youth unemployment rate, you know, 10.8%. Is there an issue there? I think to me that there's a question right now. If you look at it, 10.8 versus 3.4%, this was for 2017.
Correct.
What is the issue, and whether or not there's something else we could do rather than just to have these kind of special programs right now when there's already a problem? Should we look at the root cause and go to it? Should we start from the school syllabus? You know, start from
Absolutely.
Young. Something is obviously wrong.
It's just, you're right, something very structural is about the global economic situation. It's about the ability or the willingness of employers to hire new graduates. Are they equally qualified to be hired, you know, so those kind of things. And the government really needs to look into these structural issues. And I don't know about the use of English to boost employment. Do you think that will help if everybody has speak better English?
Well, obviously, I think a language is an issue. I mean, if you speak to a lot of employers when it comes to hiring fresh grads, a lot of them say that, oh, you know, sometimes they can't even fill up a form. You know, that's worrying. And for this piece of news to say that the Youth and Sports Ministry is looking into these programs with a special emphasis on the use of English, that says a lot. Already, I feel. Yeah. And also, I think they're going to, I mean, one of the questions that has come out from this is what kind of programs would address youth unemployment? Obviously, one of them is language. But what else, Julian, do you think? Do you think they should teach things like tech sector things?
Yeah, that's the other thing that has been proposed, not by the government, but by a lot of people, saying that we got to prepare for the future and do the kids well to learn things like programming and coding. But the jury is very divided on this, especially from coders themselves, who think that you need to focus on people's skills in order to achieve success in life rather than learning actual coding. So that's a lot to talk about. Also, we would look into the University and University Colleges Act. There was some comments yesterday. Coming up is Live and Let Die by Guns N' Roses, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.